And this morning, I'm going to center in on the words of Jesus, at least initially to start, from a prayer that he prayed for us in John chapter 17. So if you have your Bible this morning, would you join me in the fourth book of the New Testament, John chapter 17. Jesus prayed this prayer before he went to this garden in a place called Gethsemane, where he would later be arrested because he was betrayed by one of his followers, and where he really sought the Lord, and he was sought his Father, and he was under such extreme pressure from the cup that he was about to drink to pay the price for our sins, to experience God's wrath against our sin for us, that the Bible says when he was there praying that his blood started to come out the pores of his skin in sweat as he felt that extreme pressure. Gethsemane is a place of an olive press. It was like the weight of our sins was pressing down on him. But I thank God, even though he didn't want to drink that cup, he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, your will be done." Because he drank that cup, we get to drink the cup of salvation. So thank God. This prayer that he prayed before that moment in John chapter 17 is a prayer that he prayed for all of his followers, past, present, and future. So we're included in this prayer if Jesus is our Lord. Before we read these verses, would you just say this, make this little confession after me? Would you say, "The blessings and growth, I receive from God's word will be in direct proportion to the attention and thought I give to God's word." John chapter 17, verse 15. Jesus says for us, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world." Jesus didn't pray that we would be just kind of, you know, taken out of this world. But he did say, "But I pray, Father, that you should keep them from the evil one." That can be worded one of two ways. Keep us from the evil one. We know who he is, right? But it also can be translated actually as keep us from evil. And it's God's desire to keep us from both. And then he goes on, he says this in verse 16. "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, set them apart by your truth." And then Jesus said, "Your word," notice he didn't say your word contains truth, has truth. "Your word is truth." And then verse 18, "As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." So Jesus says, "I'm not praying that you take my followers out of the world, but just like I'm not of the world, they're not of the world either. So I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I'm sending them into the world." And you may have heard this phrase before. We're in the world, not of the world. And that's the message this morning. We're in the world, not of the world. We're in the world, not of the world. What does that mean? We're not of the world. It means that we no longer belong to this world system dominated by sin. If we know the Lord, we belong to Jesus. And I thank God, even if we don't know the Lord, we can. But we're not part of this world system any longer. The Bible makes a distinction between the world as it relates to people, for God so loved the world. But I'll show you a scripture in just a moment. It speaks of a world system that we're not to love and be a part of. This world system, again, dominated by sin, and I'll give you the characteristics of it in just a moment. But Jesus said, I'm not taking you out of the world. You're not of the world just like I'm not. But now, just as the Father sent me, I'm sending you as my ambassadors. I'm sending you as my representatives to reach people and make more disciples for me. More Christ followers. So we're here on a mission, just like Jesus was. We're not here to just live, pay taxes, and die. We're here with a divine call on our lives, and God wants to use us. We're in the world, not of the world. Would you please say that with me? We're in the world, not of the world. If you stay right here in John 17, let me read you three verses or so from John, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, we read these words. Do not love the world, again, the world system, or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and he's going to explain what he means by world, the lust or desires of the flesh, the lust or desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So the world system then is characterized by sinful desires, and because of our human nature, we all have those. So that's why we're not to love the sinful desires or pride, but we're to love the Lord. And then by his grace, we can have victory and have godly desires overcome the sinful desires. Thank God for that. Then he says in verse 17 that this world is passing away and those desires, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Thank God that Jesus came to suffer and die on the cross to rescue us from sin and this perishing world system so that we could be forgiven and be with him forever. Salvation is available, but it's not automatic. Let me say that again. Salvation is available, the free gift of God's forgiveness and mercy and eternal life. It's available, but it's not automatic. If we want to be in this world but not of the world, Jesus said we must be born again. So if you join me in John chapter 3, just because if you're in John, let's look at this together. Again, Jesus spoke these words, John chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. John 3:5 says, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's what he means by the water and the Spirit. There's a natural birth, but if we want to get into God's kingdom, we've got to have a spiritual birth. So verse 7 then says, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Would you say it with me? You must be born again. And that's a supernatural birth of God's Holy Spirit. Now, if you turn back to John 17, one more verse, verse 3, I'd like you to look at again. This is part of the prayer of Jesus. John chapter 17, verse 3, this makes it real plain what eternal life is. It says, and this is eternal life. Jesus said that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. To be born again means that God's Spirit has convicted us of our sin. Doesn't matter if I'm 5 or 105. I've realized that I've sinned and I need forgiveness. And when God's Spirit convicts and draws to his love, draws me to the truth that Jesus paid the price for my sin on the cross, he conquered death, and he's alive right now, and in my heart, believe that he is Lord and call on him to save me. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thank God for that. So we can have eternal life. Here is what eternal life is. It's knowing God personally. There's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. I can know about some person famous. I can know about someone in history, but I don't know them. Someone said, sadly, some people will miss heaven by 18 inches, about 18 inches. Know about God here in the mind, but about 18 inches don't know him in the heart. So we have to know God personally, and to come into that relationship, the first step is just simply believe with our heart in Jesus as Lord. So let me share three, I guess, Bible applications here, truths that we can live by of how we live different from the world. So again, we love people. We care about people. We want to reach them for the Lord because he sent us. But we don't want to copy the sins of the world. It's like we shouldn't imitate the world system, but we should not isolate ourselves from people in the world too. which can be easy to do because we desire Christian fellowship and we develop Christian relationships. That's great. But we always want to remember we're here to represent the Lord. We're his ambassadors. Jesus died to save everyone. And we all need forgiveness and we all need that good news. So how do we live different from the world? I believe there are three, more than three, but I'll just share three in the time we have this morning, okay? The first area I believe that we live different from the world is in our motives. In our motives, because God always, it's like he works from the inside out. So we're in the world, but not of the world in our motives. And I'll give you a few verses here again. Jesus spoke all of these words, and we're looking to him to guide us in this. But I thought about motives this week, and I even looked up dictionary and so forth, but maybe I could just say it like this. What motivates you or leads you to say what you say and do what you do? So let's think about that a minute, okay? What leads me, what motivates me to say what I say and do what I do? Now we can be, our motives may be pride. And maybe we can all relate to these. We've all, I could have a motive of greed. I'm wanting some kind of a financial gain and I have a wrong motive about it. It could be revenge. I can be motivated, we can be motivated to get even with someone. And God says, vengeance is mine, let me handle it. So we can be motivated by immorality. We can be motivated by selfishness. So those are like worldly motives. And God says, no, don't love that. This is, I want your motives to be pure. God's after our heart. Or our motives can be gratitude to God for his love, for his mercy. Thank God his love caused him to send Jesus to the cross. His mercy means I don't go to hell even though I deserve it. I'm the one who sinned, not his son. Grace is not only do I have mercy that I'm not going to hell, he's given me his righteousness and I can stand before him one day because of Jesus like I never sinned. See, y'all don't have maybe some bad sins, or y'all are okay. My goodness, that right there would be enough for me to, I could never thank him enough. Oh my goodness. Thank God for his goodness. I can tell you, God has been better to me than I deserve and that I have been to myself. And I can look back over my life with nothing but humility and gratitude and say, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to me and your goodness to this present day. Thank God. So that's, and our motives, that's what I'm talking about. See, Jesus, let me read these verses. All right. John 16:33. Jesus said, these things I have spoken. He's spoke something. He's given us his word. I've spoken to you. Would you say, Jesus spoke these words to me? So he says, these things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. You're gonna have trouble. You're gonna have your days. You're gonna have your sorrows and crying and loss. That's in the world. But in me, I'm telling you this, in me you can have peace. So take heart, be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. This world is not gonna take you out and it's not gonna rob you of peace if you just trust me. Jesus died on the cross, suffered and rose again from the dead so that we can experience his peace, the Bible says, to guard our hearts and minds. Then over in chapter 17, verse 13, again, praying for us, he says to his father, but now I come to you and these things, again, I speak in the world that they may have, whose joy? Isn't that something? That they may have my joy. Thank God. That we, my joy fulfilled in themselves. And then one more, verse 26. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it that the love which you love me may be in them and I in them. Here we go. Love, joy, and peace. Does that sound familiar? It's characteristics of the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. Jesus paid the price. He said, you want me to give you a motive? I'll give you a good motive. My love, my joy, my peace. I want what's in me to be in you. And live, I want you to live that way. If we have those kind of motives, I know in my heart, we all have those sinful desires and tendencies. That's why we need God to cleanse our heart and to cleanse our motives and to stay in close fellowship with him so he produces his fruit in us. And then as we do, as he purifies our motive, we will not only glorify God, we will be a blessing to other people, and it will bless us because there's something about knowing that we are right with God that brings joy to our hearts that we cannot experience if we try to live with wrong motives. That's what it means to be in the world, but not of the world. All right? In the world, but not of the world. Number two, so not only do we live different in our motives, we live different in our values. And if it's helpful, just to remember, it's MVP. All right? Motives, values, and possessions. We'll get to that in a moment. But our motives and then our values. And again, the words of Jesus here in John chapter 17. What are values? If you think about it, it's like it's a principle or standard we live by. So a value is here is a truth, or at least here is some standard, right or wrong. It's some principle, right or wrong, that I live by. That's what values are. So we have contrasting godly values with worldly values. And we choose based on our motive, which one we're gonna seek to live out. Jesus says this in John 17, 8. For I have given to them the word or the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. So notice, God gives the word. When we believe it, we receive it and we know it. Then he goes on in verse 14, he says this, I have given them your word and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then I read this earlier, but remember verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. So the Lord sets us apart from this world system. And let me back up. It's not sanctified, is not just set apart from the world. We are set apart for God. And because we are his and set apart for him, that separates us from this world system. So we're in the world, but not of the world. We all accept someone's authority, and we all live by some set of values. So who determines those values? As a follower of Jesus, I want God's word. I accept the authority of God. He is my sovereign. And this Bible is not just a book to me. It is the inspired, eternal word of the living God. It's living and powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's not just truth to learn, it's truth to live by. So the values we live by show what we genuinely believe in our heart to be true. Let me say that again. The values we live by. See, I can say I believe the Bible, but if I don't live by the truth and values of God's word, it shows that deep down in my heart, I really believe something else. So to believe God's word in my heart, we'll all fall short at times, but I'm taking every step I can and seeking God for grace to live it out. We're in the world, but not of the world. Now, he said, the world will hate you. Some people who live by the values of this world system hate those who live by the values of the word, because God's word, the light of God's truth, exposes sin and spiritual darkness. So for some people, they will have maybe even a violent I guess, persecution and attack on those who live by godly values. One of the, before I read this, remember, still, Jesus sends us as his ambassadors to reach people with the life-changing gospel of God. So we're in the world, not of the world. Would you say it with me? We're in the world, not of the world. Would you say this? We live different from the world in our motives and values. One of the first ministries we started supporting, I think it may have been the first when we started this church about over 27 and a half years ago, is a ministry called Voice of the Martyrs, which ministers to persecuted Christians around the world. I received this testimony from the ministry yesterday. I'd like to read it. It's from a 14-year-old girl. Her name, I don't know if it's her real name or not, is Rose. And she says that she was born in a communist home in Cuba, where no one could even mention the word God. My parents are atheists. My father is in the Cuban Communist Party leadership. My mother is secretary of the Committee for the Defense of the Revolution. You might say my home is a nest for communism. However, my grandmother loves God and taught me about the Lord. She sowed the seeds of God's word into me. On several occasions, I tried to go to church with her, but my parents didn't allow it. One day, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. My life started to change. Even the way I dressed changed. My mother did not accept it. She never beat me before, but now she often does. When my father learned that I was a Christian, he told me to choose God or him. I chose God because I've understood that he is the only one worth living for. That sound like values and motives? Now, even though I'm only 14, I have to study far away from home. When I first came to this place, I was the only Christian, but I have sown God's word, and now there are four of us. We meet under a tree, hidden to share God's word. We keep sowing and waiting, believing that soon we will be many. Isn't that something? That's called in the world, but not of the world. Thank God. God bless this young lady. And I pray, Father, I pray right now that you would save this father and mother and draw them to yourself. And Lord, expand your kingdom there in that place. You are Lord there, just as you are Lord here, to the glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen. And let me just give you a couple more verses. I'll give you this last one. Our motives, our values, and possessions. Again, I'll give you a couple scriptures if you want to write them down, and then we'll close in Revelation. Possessions. Our values determine our attitude toward possessions. And we are to manage faithfully all that God entrusts to our care. So let me read this verse to you. It's Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 9, Proverbs 3, 9, the scripture says this, honor the Lord with your possessions. Would you say that with me? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So let's just pause there a minute. I want to ask you to take a little time to just take a moment for a mental inventory. If you just think about all your possessions, maybe you have clothes, maybe you have some furniture, maybe you live in an apartment, maybe you own a car, maybe you own a home, and you might even have items in a storage or so forth. That's all fine. Thank God for those blessings. But if we think about evaluating our possessions, as the scripture says, honor the Lord with them, if we evaluate, let's ask ourselves, am I honoring you, Lord, with these possessions? Or how about this question? How can I better honor you? So for some, maybe that means passing on a blessing to others. Maybe for some, it means taking this item and getting more use out of it. I don't know. That's something that we just have to seek the Lord about. But again, it's how we live different from the world, because this world can be so consumed with this life and stuff, and that's all there is, that not only are our motives and values different, we look at things differently. we look at stuff different. We're managers of all that God entrusts to us. Someone can be very wealthy in this world's goods and still be wealthy in faith. That's the key. We can be poor in this world's goods, but we can be wealthy in faith, rich in faith. And of the two, let's make sure we're rich in faith. And if God blesses with the other, then thank God for that. And I'll read these words from Jesus in Luke chapter 12 in just a moment as well. In fact, let me go ahead and read it. Luke 12:15. And the Bible says this. Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Now, is that a different worldview than what people in the world think? That our lives do not consist in the abundance of the stuff we possess, but we can sure live like it does. There is a danger in possessions that they can begin to possess us. Y'all remember reading about a man or hearing about a man who came to Jesus one day and he wanted to know what he could have do to have eternal life, like it was up to him? Jesus eventually worked him to the place to show that even though he was wealthy, he was a ruler, he was young, he was a moral guy to look at him in as far as religious and outward observance was concerned. But Jesus revealed to him, your true God is your money and your possessions. And when Jesus brought him to that decision, the Bible says he walked away. Jesus said, come follow me. And he walked away because he valued his possessions more than he valued the real eternal life he asked about, because the eternal life was right there in the one he was talking to. Think about that. He walked away from what he could have had forever to hold on for a few more years what he was going to lose anyway. Motives, values, possessions. So Jesus said, that's not what your life is made of, brothers and sisters. Our life is more than stuff. 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us it's all going up in smoke one day. So please don't put everything into what's going to evaporate. Now let's live, use it, live for what lasts, and lay up treasure in heaven. Store up treasure that will not pass away. Would you turn to Revelation? I'll close there. Revelation 21. While you're turning, I thought about this in possessions. If we compromise our commitment to the Lord to get some type of money or a raise or some material possessions, we must reorder our priorities. If we compromise our well-being to not only obtain possessions, but to maintain them and hold them. If I've got so much that it's damaging my health, then I also need to reorder my priorities and say, Lord, help me to manage what you want me to manage. This is just a little too much for me. I'm gonna pass it on and bless somebody else. I want you to know I love you this morning. I care. I don't want any of us to live under that kind of pressure, because it can eat away at us, and God wants us to be free. Do you see the difference between we're in the world, but not of the world? Revelation chapter 21. And the Bible says this, verse 3. Revelation 21, 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I love this. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. Can somebody say amen? There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And then verse 6, I'll close with that. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely. to him who thirsts. Are you thirsty this morning for more than the polluted wells and streams of this world system? If you are, let me invite you to come to the well and fountain of living water, where there is an abundant supply, and what this world cannot satisfy, he can. We're in the world, not of the world. I've thought about, thank God the hostages that were alive were released. But afterward, as I watched them embrace their loved ones, I thought, I wonder how many days of those 737 days, I think it was, did they think about their possessions? I don't know that. But I think we could probably all have an idea that there probably weren't many days that went by that they didn't think about a loved one. Maybe their relationship with the Lord. Wondered if some of them would actually see physical daylight again as they were underground in those tunnels. And something, you know, seeing that helps me to reevaluate, to say, Lord, help me. Help me to live for what really lasts. To be in the world, but not of the world. Let me ask you this, just please think about it. Between you and the Lord now. First of all, are you born again? Do you really know God personally? You have a relationship with him, or do you just know about him? You can know him. He wants you to know him. He wants to be your father, and he paid the price to adopt you into his family. I thank God we've got a glorious future waiting for us with the Lord in heaven, brothers and sisters. And so we're to live like citizens of heaven. We talked about that last week, promoting God's kingdom and his will in the world. So let me ask you this again, between you and God, are you living different from the world in your motives? What leads you to say what you say, do what you do? Are you living different from the world in your values? Are you really living by the truth and standard of God's word? And are you living different from the world in relation to possessions? If the Lord is speaking to your heart right now about an area that you say, I'm not 100% or I haven't been, but I want to surrender that to him right now. Is Jesus really Lord of all? Your motives, your values, your possessions. Would you take a moment, if that's your heart and that's your prayer, would you just tell him? Let him know. Now, would you just look at me? I want to just again, will you trust God? Will you trust his love for you? And will you ask him for grace to live different? And if there was an area in your life you feel like, Lord, I need forgiveness, I need your help here, would you surrender that to him and trust him for grace to live different from the world? Let's stand together. I'm just gonna have a closing prayer and a closing song. As I was preparing this yesterday morning, I also sensed this. We talk about our motives and values. I don't want anything to hinder you from receiving the joy, the love, the peace that God has. I don't want it to miss it myself, but I don't want it for you either. I care about you. I care about you. There may be someone here today, and maybe unforgiveness is blocking that flow from you experiencing the fullness of God's grace and love and joy and peace. If that's you this morning, would you also just surrender that? Say, Lord, I'm gonna release forgiveness and trust you to handle it. So Father, we come before you right now and just ask that, Lord, you would speak to our heart. Let the light of your spirit come in and show us any area that is not like you. We bring it to you to the light so that we could be forgiven, free, even healed. And so, Lord, that our joy could be full. We would rest in your unconditional love, and we would experience a grace and peace that guards and calms our troubled hearts and minds. May we do it for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, let's sing this hymn. Oh, to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. Let's just give it all to him now, all right? I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. All to Jesus I, Lord, I give myself to thee. Lord, I give myself to, let's fill us, Lord. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. Just one last time, I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior.